Hello, everyone. It's been said we have to be quiet in order to listen. We always talk, and God has no chance to talk to us. So, if we examine prayer and meditation, prayer is the talking, the request, the demanding, and meditation is the listening. Now, most people just keep praying all the time or asking all the time, always making noise or always talking. And God, divine energy, whatever you want to call this amazing energy, has no chance to tell us what to do. Is it any wonder that prayers can sometimes go unanswered? God has no opportunity to communicate with us. So then, as we look at this, meditation is must, from a logical standpoint, whether you are a Buddhist, a Christian, a Muslim, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. If you cannot make time to listen to God, then God can never be communicated with, right? Even if you talk to a friend, you know, you telephone that friend, you talk, and then you must listen. Even if you, well, if you ask me, you must first ask, and then you now must be quiet so that you have a chance to receive. How can we treat God even worse than a friend? So if we understand that it's a conversation and it's an ebb and a flow, it's a give and a receive, we have to then communicate that prayer is the talking and that the meditating is the receiving. So hello, once again, and welcome into Affirmations for Living. Of course, I'm your host, Reverend Edvige, and I'm always joyed and excited to be here with you. Today, we will be discussing prayer, obviously, and meditation. What they are, how do they work, and how to do them in an easy, understandable way. My guest is Reverend Ernie Martin, and he's an interfaith minister with many years of teaching and guiding people into their path. And quite interesting, you'll find his story. He's from East India, but he's been here for a long time, and so he certainly understands the Western civilization and our world as it is, and how we can incorporate these two amazing modalities to empower and truly have an impact in our lives. So I hope that you would call in today. That number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. Now, you know, we often have people call in, and sometimes they get impatient, and they hang up, and then I get a message later that no one answered. So I'm suggesting that allow time for my sound man to answer the phone. So if if you call and doesn't answer within five rings or so, hang up, but then call back shortly thereafter so that he has an opportunity to answer, because I would love to speak to you today, okay? So there are as many prayer forms and types as there are personalities. Witness that, you know, there are so many books out there, how to pray. For me, I remember being in third grade. I went to Catholic schools, and I'll never forget this banner that hung in the church. And it said, "Those who sing, pray twice." And of course, I became a singer, and I actually did that for a living for many, many years. And I always felt that as I was on stage performing, that I was truly paying tribute and honoring the God part in me. And so those who sing, pray twice. Of course, prayer can be the drumming, the drum circles, and all of these wonderful ways of honoring God. The question that usually arises about prayer, other than how to do it, is what about unanswered prayers? That is, when our specific petitions are not granted. You know what? I've learned two things about this. One is to stop asking for specific outcomes and simply hold the person or situation up into God's light. So what does that say? If we understand the universal laws, that would be the law of allowing. And so we must allow universe, God, source energy to respond in a way that is best and highest for our good. And so we have to let go of outcomes. We have to allow things to show up as they show up, because the odds are God knows what's best, right? Universe knows what's best. Whatever name you, again, want to call that divine energy. The second is that prayer prepares the prayer for the answer. So prayer hollows us out helps us receive the answer when it comes. And so that's why it's so important to listen so that we hear those answers and we're not setting ourselves up for failure. We're not allowing the ego personality to take over and to dictate what that answered prayer should look like. So a couple of things to remember as we begin to develop this spiritual practice of prayer and meditation. So now let's move into a little bit about meditation. We seem to hear more these days about meditation and spirituality. Why do you think that is? Many people who have grown up in the indigenous traditions of the West, if you could call them indigenous traditions, Christianity, Judaism, liberal, secular, humanism, say they feel their native religious perspective has become too concerned with matters of theology, doctrine, and institution, and has neglected to attend to the matters of the heart and religious experience, the essence of what spirituality is. Is it the essence of the heart? So there's a growing interest among many who are awakening to deepen their interior lives in ways that doctrines and religious institutions cannot. And this desire is perhaps the central reason for the growing interest in meditative practices. And that certainly makes sense, right? We're moving from the dogma and the doctrine of organized religion because we're really not finding that it's satisfying spirit, that it's satisfying our heart. And we're moving into knowing that the answers are always been within and learning how to communicate with the God source that is within us. And so that's really important. It's a practice that is beyond belief. One concerned with the experiential core of spirituality. And that's who's really starting to move towards meditation. But is meditation really a spiritual discipline? I would say so. It's a cultural trend. People seem to be using meditation to ease stress and to ease different things. But it's so much more than that. Those who practice meditation will often discover their levels of stress diminishing. Certainly it will do that. But stress reduction and relaxation are only byproducts of the practice. They are not its principal purpose or aim. Meditation as a whole is a discipline for gaining awareness, or what many traditions call mindfulness. Relaxation assists in the process of cultivating mindfulness, but relaxation is not the goal. So indeed, the development of mindfulness may initially exacerbate one's feeling of stress and tension because it involves being silent and attending to one's experience. Paying attention to one's inner self may stir up unpleasant memories and emotions. That is one of the reasons most persons neglect their interior selves. So what does that seem like? Well, it says to me that it's causing us to bring up issues that need to be released. We can no longer put those things in tidy little boxes and ignore them. So it's allowing all sorts of things to flow up. We address them and we release them. So it's really important that we understand these experiences. And so Reverend Ernie's going to come on today and he's going to share with us his background, his experience, and then how we move forward into this thing called prayer and meditation. Very exciting, and I hope that you join in. Again, the call-in number.
Hello.
Hello, Reverend Ernie. How are you today?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Very cool. Let me give out the call-in number one more time. I was about to do that. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. And again, remember that if you call, let it ring for a while. It will be answered. I promise you that. Okay, so Reverend Ernie, tell us a little bit about yourself. I said that you come from East India and that you've been here for quite some time. I won't tell anyone your age. That's for you to say.
Yeah.
But tell us who you are.
Okay. I'm Reverend Ernie Markin, and of course I was born and raised in India, and I was 18 years old when I came to U.S., mm-hmm. and that was back in 1964.
Okay.
If anybody knows arithmetic, it's in 64 when I was 18, and now, and that's I'm 67 now.
Well, you're a young 67, so it's okay to say your age.
Yes, okay. And I was educated at a Methodist Boys High School in South India. Mm-hmm. And I went to a kind of a Methodist denominational type of an establishment, Christian, very conservative Christian type of an environment. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a Hindu country, and I was a Christian there, like a minority there. 2% of the Indian population still is Christian, and about 80% is Hinduism, and about less than 1% is Buddhism, plus over about 15% is Islamic or Muslims, and Sikhs, they call Sikhs, the turban people, men with turbans, they're about 2% of them. So anyway, I come from a very, very multi-religious and cultural background while I was growing up in India.
Mm-hmm. So, Fascinating, really.
So that's my background in my early childhood from India. So then I was 18, I came to the U.S., and I started exploring other Western type of denominations like Protestants or Protestant churches and mm-hmm. Catholic environment, as well as Unitarian and metaphysical churches, such as Church of Religious Science or Science of Mind in the metaphysical world.
So now, what brought you to being a minister of interfaith? What exactly is interfaith?
Yes, interfaith. Interfaith ministry, the reason I like interfaith is because I'm kind of a little bit more diversified, and I do not like proselytizing, for instance, proselytizing mm-hmm. or convert other people to my belief system.
Okay.
Whatever I believe, it's very personal. It's between me and God, or the divinity, or the divine presence, or the light, or supreme being, whatever we can call God as.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very personable, and I do not like to judge other people's what they believe. So interfaith kind of fits my bill. I call it fits my bill because, wow, I attract all different religions and belief mm-hmm. systems in my life. Even if they're atheists, that's fine. That's what they are. God loves everybody. God loves even atheist people, too.
Well, God created everyone.
God.
Yes.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know some humanists who are humanist ministers. And he and I are good friends, and we have lunch together or have breakfast together. And I mean, I'm minister to ministers, you know, it's wonderful that we can communicate. We have love for one another, you know, we do love everybody.
Well, so, what I find dynamic about your really, you know, your movement that you're creating is that it's not about, like you said, one person postulating, follow me, I know everything, I understand the Bible, I'm going to interpret it for you. What you do, you have a circle, and everyone shares in that circle because everyone is a value and everyone can contribute, and we are all philosophers. And so that's really interesting. Share just a little bit of how that is. You come together, you're in a circle, and we all share. That just makes so much sense.
Yes. Let me ask you this. Hey, let me share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's no other place like this. Okay.
And mm-hmm.
There is one, but they meet once a month. It's called Interfaith Council of Southern Nevada,
mm-hmm.
and I started attending there 8 or 9 months ago. And I went to church. I was a church hopper for many times, many, many years. A church hopper, go to this church, go to that church, and find God or something like that, you know, or something that motivates me or inspires me, this kind of stuff. Then I found out that, you know what, this is not that I really want. This is not that I want to experience. So I became a minister a year ago, a year and 8 months ago,
mm-hmm.
ordained minister. Then I taught myself, you know, I do not have a home, a church home to go to. Every church that I go to, a traditional church like a Protestant church or a Catholic church or Protestant, or even a religious science church for that matter, or a Unitarian church, most of them preach from the pulpit. And it's a one-sided communication. The preacher or the priest or the pastor right in front of the congregation, goes in the front and lectures,
and preaches the gospel or preaches the materials, and it's only one way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, it's only one way communication. So I thought to myself, you know, this doesn't fit in with my belief system, where I'd love to share spiritual with others and interact with others. We are blessed. We're all divine beings, our spiritual beings, and we have voices. Each individual have voices and interact with each other. So, okay, so it didn't appeal to me. The traditional church did not appeal to me. So I formed my own spiritual circle discussion group. I thought, well, why not we have a discussion group and not preach the materials or lecture the materials, just instead facilitate, act as a facilitator. We have three circles, 10 people in each group. We have three facilitators. There are 20 people, we have two facilitators. So we have 10 people, we have one facilitator. So that way, everybody gets to share, and the circle discussions is about, anywhere from hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
So, reasonable. And we interact with each other, and spiritually, and we get to talk with each other, and God resides in every individual. The divine, as a divine being, God speaks through us. And so we get to hear each other, and there we go. Now that's how we came up as a spiritual circle.
Wonderful. And by the way, that information will be on the archive of this show. So if you want to reach out and participate in that spiritual circle, you can certainly connect with Reverend Ernie at reverendermartin@gmail.com.
reverendermartin@gmail.com.
Yep. Perfect. So now let's go into, before we run out of time, because this is about prayer and meditation. So we know that prayer is speaking to God. Just share with us, if you would, what that looks like.
First, when you said, we can speak to God, but basically it tells us that we are saying some sentences or words that just in a traditional way. For instance, a lot of Christians, a lot of Catholics or Protestants, that's common, they do what you call a say a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So if we communicate. It's about communicating with God, so that God, we want God to hear us, and we know through words. So we have to clear our mind from all the distractions we have, and we have thought, we got to be thoughtful itself, and the answers you hope to find by praying. You know, you expect the answers, and that form of a spiritual growth that, you know, usually depends on faith with God. And before we even start praying to God, I also believe that we have to have some kind of connection with God, our belief system, our belief system in the divinity as such. Yeah, so that will help quite a bit. So that's one of the areas of communication. It's a two-way street. That we believe in God, and we say the prayers. So that way, we hope to hear the answers from God. That's basically the premise of when we say speak to God.
Okay. And, you know, prayer is so unique, as I was saying earlier, to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a formalized prayer, or you can just, you know, talk and communicate. I actually have a prayer that I say every morning, and I'm going to share it real quick because I just find it to be so beautiful. And it's not about asking God for particular things. That's another misnomer. We don't necessarily need to ask for things, because what we need is already known. And so the prayer that I like to use, I'm going to share real quick. I am that I am. My I am presence is an intelligent being of light with a pure and perfect consciousness. It is the silent watcher and the only begotten daughter of God. It is the divine me. Where my attention is, there I am. Whatever I focus my attention on, I manifest in my life experiences. The kingdom of heaven is within me. I hold my attention perpetually on my I am presence and the kingdom of heaven within my heart. Within this sacred space, God's will is the only will acting, and God's perfect results are assured. The separation is no more. My I am presence is now the personalized divine director of all of my material experiences. My I Am Presence has freedom of action in every facet of my individual world. I am out picturing my I Am Presence through my physical body, and I am transfigured as I advance on the path of light. My I Am Presence is manifesting tangibly within my being and environment now and forever. And so it is. And so it is, and totally different than what people would think about, God, can I have this red convertible today? It's, you know, there's a big difference in what prayer should be like.
That's right. We can even, as I said, it's wonderful. You have a great prayer. I am very powerful. Very, very powerful. I am. Yes. God speaks to us. Okay. And one of the certain areas, like, you know, if somebody wants to pray, let's say, for instance, a specific prayer, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, like on a specific, not too specific, but to really get themselves into the habit of praying and get comfortable with it. That's what I mean. For instance, we are surrounded by so many technological changes mm-hmm. in our environments. Okay. For instance, we got to stay away from all the distractions when we want to pray. Mm-hmm. The phones are ringing, you know, a TV is going on, or a football game is on, or the crying children, this kind of stuff. We got to be very kind of quiet down and concentrate on the prayer itself. Okay. That's very important. Mm-hmm. And again, this is this prayer and meditation, or the prayer itself first. Now, this is for just anybody. I mean, I'm just a person that's new. Mm-hmm. Or a person just wants to learn about praying but needs some little bit of guidance, just simple guidance. And they can, for everyday living purpose. And the other area is the same time. They pray, plan on praying the same time. A person likes to pray in the morning, for instance. Keep that time so that way it's consistent. Or at night, they'll be consistent too. So that way they get some kind of a stability and a discipline. It's kind of a routine, a regular routine when they can pray it.
Absolutely.
Which is good. Mm-hmm. And they can even write down the time they're praying, like write the time into their own schedule or the planners, and treat it like a daily appointment. Like I have an appointment book, or all the business people or, you know, or entrepreneurs, for instance, they have an appointment book. Oh, I got to meet so-and-so. I have a business meeting. I have an appointment with a job interview.
So in other words, this really needs to be just as important, if not more important. And so if you have to schedule it in because you're just too busy, schedule in that 5, that 10, however long you have time to really sit and honor, right, honor Creator. So it's important that we daily take time to do that. So I like the idea of putting that into a schedule.
It's more structured. It's good to have some structure in our life, structure and discipline, time-wise, because we all have 24 hours. Like Bill Gates, he just has 24 hours. I have 24 hours, but of course Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire. It's okay. You know, we enjoy that. We enjoy his presence. We enjoy his energy and whatnot. But again, we have 24 hours in our lives, and we have to manage what we have and to work with it. So that'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this then. Some things to pray for. What would it be a format? I know people do the Lord's Prayer, but if you're not Catholic, you may not even know it. So how is it okay to pray and ask for things like abundance or prosperity? So how would you format that prayer?
Okay, some things to pray for. Mm-hmm. For instance, you can categorize them, for instance, because again, this kind of a little bit of organization or kind of a little bit of structure to it, is to keep track of our prayer needs. And this can be like, for instance, you want to pray about something about church, example, you know, as a category, or family members. Or family members, you want to pray for family members, so list as family. So family names or relatives or whatnot, or a community. Mm-hmm. You want to pray for a community. So under community, you know, you come up with some words of prayer about bettering our community where we live.
Or so now, how would you do that? Mm-hmm. Say I want to pray for my family. Give me some words, if you can, that would help me. Because say I never prayed before, what would I say? I want to pray for my family.
Oh, you want to say that I want to improve my relationships, interaction with my family. Mm-hmm. I want to have a loving relationship with my family members so that we can be together as a unity, as a strong bond within each other. See?
Okay.
So each family, you can divide it up in family, like a cousin, uncle, aunt, or a parent, a sibling, whatnot. See?
Mm-hmm.
You can also have a category like traveling, for instance. Okay, we do travel. We are a mobile society, and we do travel. Under traveling, you can create a specific, a place that you're going or where you're going, and a prayer about it, about traveling. You may travel 5-6 times during a year. So under traveling, have a prayer for traveling or healing. For instance, as we know that people do get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And sick,
so I could just say something like, Great mm-hmm. Spirit, Father, Mother, God, I'm praying for my cousin today. He's not feeling well. Send him love and light that he might be healed. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And mm-hmm. also there can be prayers and spirituality, growth mm-hmm. and spirituality. You know, spirituality is also part of our life. And I strongly believe that spirituality does bring us joy and happiness, you know, everyday life. So we can say prayers in spirituality. So make a list of all the things that you want to pray about spirituality, like taking classes or even reading some important reading from different religions, for instance,
mm-hmm.
or even from the Holy Bible, if that interests some people. That's wonderful. Some major reading from some ministers or pastors or from other theologians that have written some information, you can do some reading. And out of that, you can develop some prayers on spirituality.
Mm. And so, you know what? It sounds to me that there really isn't any set way to pray. Whatever you feel comfortable with, whether it's sitting quietly and just saying, Great Source Spirit, you know, hear my cry.
Yes.
Heal this person, or I might pick up a book and it has some scripture or something in it and I read it, and that's really praying. And so it doesn't have to be so, you know, the same thing over and over and over again.
No, not at all, no.
Okay.
So, because so we have this tendency of redundancy. Redundancy is just kind of a program, and it may not, you know, produce some kind of a joy or enjoyment. So that's one of the areas I like about it, to organize something like what you're praying for, like a church or a family, a community, or
mm-hmm.
traveling, kind of organize in such a way that you can at least have some kind of concentration in that area. Yes.
Also, you know what I like how you were saying, you write it down and you do this and you pray for this. What makes sense is you can actually go back and see how those prayers are answered. So just imagine if you actually list, you know, friends, family, circumstances, things that you want to clear up, and you actually pray for them. And you pray for them every day or whenever. And then go back a month later and see how many of those prayers have been answered. How fabulous is that? The thing is, the very important point about prayer is that we cannot be so specific as to the outcome of that prayer.
That's right. Exactly.
We have to allow it to show up.
We have
how it
to allow
up.
The yeah. right. We have to allow the energy or the you know, the blessings to come through. The all this needs to be fulfilled. All will fulfill. Just be able to receive. Keep the heart open.
Mm-hmm.
As you keep the mind and heart open, there we have it. The answers will come to them. Come
Absolutely.
To us. You know,
and
from within. Yes.
You know what? And now that leads us to meditation, because meditation is what.
Uh-huh.
The answer coming to us.
Yes. Meditation is about God can speak to us.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Meditation is something that that it's very, very, what you call you sit quietly and, you know, no disturbances and whatnot. And the meditation is about focus, too. The focus in the mind is being quiet and turning inward. That's just very important, turning inward in ourselves. And the purpose of inward concentration is to remove, you know, all the outside chatter and distractions, you see. And so that way we can hear the voice of God or the voice of the infinite, or the voice of divinity, the divine. So, and so that way, we feel more comfortable and joyful, and we're more energized that way. So that's one of the beauty of combining meditation and prayer together.
Absolutely. You know, and meditation has so many benefits, as I was saying earlier. Yeah. Of course, in our Western society, people are using meditation to relieve stress, and that's certainly a good thing. You know, but there's so much more to meditating when you connect to that higher self. Literally, as far as physical benefits, we slow down the aging process. We can do so many things. We can activate our DNA through meditating. So it's just really important that we begin those spiritual practices. Now, give us some tips, because I know a lot of times meditating, and I created a guided meditation, which I'll share with you momentarily, but gives us some ideas of, you know, it's real hard to turn the mind off. It wants to talk and chatter constantly. So what would you suggest to turn that noise off?
Okay. One of the things is, first, before we, you know, before we even get the noise off, like, we need to set time, like, you know, meditation can be about 10 to 15 minutes approximately.
Okay.
Those are some of the meditation tips. Maybe we go through about 4 or 5 of them and just see if, like, what comes to my head here. But it needs to be a quiet place, for instance. Sit down quietly in a quiet place, you know, sit back. You know, back must be straight, for instance. So that way, you know, you'll be alert. And have a positive wish to benefit, you know, benefit yourself and others. We've got to be positive when we meditate so that others will also benefit. The, also, must have some means, not specifically, but some means of the objective or the object of meditation.
Your intention,
okay. Yeah, the intention. That's correct. The intention is important. So that way we can concentrate in that area. And those are some of the areas that comes to my mind that as I'm sharing with you some tips on meditation.
Okay.
So
then
you can, we can document sometimes, you know, after meditating, the example, in the morning, what happens is during the day, some things happen. Hey, I did meditate on this stuff. And, you know, it's showing up. It's showing up over there. It's a reflection what I meditated, and you're thankful, and you're joyful. And
oh, you
and
know something? Yeah. You just made a really, really important point. So we're in meditation, and we intend something to, you know, a connection or something. You have to be aware then throughout the day, because that answer may not show up right then in the meditation.
Right.
But throughout the day, as we become aware of every moment, it's going to show up somewhere in that day. And so be conscious of, wow, here's the answer. It may be that you turn on the television next and the answer, you hear it, or someone that you meet says something to you, or you see something, or you're guided towards something, and then there's the answer, or something is resolved. Whatever that intention was set in that meditation, be prepared to see the answer, to for it to come to you later on if it doesn't come in meditation. So really be aware of that aspect of it.
That's right. I mean, even when you're driving after a meditation, for instance, a few hours before the drive, or you see some of the things that happening, it comes to our mind, and you know, that's what I meditated. You know, subconsciously, you know, it shows up.
Absolutely.
Know that. Oh my gosh, it shows up there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the key to watch for the answer, because sometimes people think, oh, am I going to hear this voice? Well, guess what? Some people will actually hear that still small voice. I hear a still small voice. I'll get feelings. My intuition is enhanced. All sorts of those things happen, but I've been meditating, as Ernie, we've been meditating for years. So to the novice just starting, don't beat yourself up if you don't hear the still small voice, or if nothing happens in meditation and it's just peaceful. I even had someone call me the other day and they said that they fell asleep. Well, they're beginning. And so it's a spiritual practice. And once you practice, you'll go into the gap, but you won't fall asleep. And it's all okay.
Yes. Yeah. You know, earlier, did you mention about you know, like a resting heart rate is lower and things like that, and it also decreases blood pressure.
Yes.
One of the areas, too, is interesting. The meditation also helps youthful skin or looks younger. You know?
Indeed it does.
People look younger. I mean, you know, wow, that's just a wonderful benefit of meditating. Especially, people look more energized, and they look younger.
And that's
we live in a young society. Yes, right. We live in a society that, you know, that respects youthful-looking society.
Exactly. And so I have to say that Ernie and I had lunch Monday. We had lunch. And Ernie does
Tuesday,
not look Tuesday. Ernie does not look his age of 67. And, well, I'm 50, and I would have to say, knock on wood, I don't look my age. And so, yeah,
no,
we are true testaments.
Yeah, would you believe that when I was talking to you on Tuesday at lunch, I just thought that you were like 34 or 35 years old.
That's what most people say. If they have to guess, that's where they guess it. So thank you. But yes, truly, it's about clarity, that meditation and prayer. You know, your spiritual practices are so beneficial to you. You have absolutely no idea. And if you can just get into them because of these reasons and then watch what happens to you spiritually, you will have made such an amazing shift in your life and everything that's happening around you. It causes you to be happy. It causes you to be more positive. When I first started meditating, I'd come out of the room and my husband would look at me. I had this big smile on my face and he'd be like, "What on earth did you just do?" I'm like, "I meditated. I saw colors. I connected to source. I could feel the love." And that transcends. It just, it completely changes you. And it's, oh, you know, words cannot describe the feeling that comes from that connection. And so, yeah, lots of wonderful benefits there.
Right.
Yeah, indeed. Do you have anything else?
Yes. I mean, you know, for instance, I just want to run through maybe the one area that I would love to share is blessings, you know, prayer for blessings.
Oh, love to. Yeah.
We really, a lot of people think, oh, I'm blessed with this, blessed with a car, or blessed with a big home, or something like that. Those are materialistic stuff, you know, a big home or a big car or three cars in a garage kind of stuff. That's kind of a little bit more materialistic, okay? But the other things that need to be blessings that, gee, you know, I tell people that to, hey, I'm walking, you know, I'm talking, and I'm energized. That's a blessing.
Yes,
I appreciate for what I am. See, gosh, I'm breathing. Oh, gosh, they're alive. that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's you know, you have to feel that. Blessing is about feeling. You see, it's how you feel about what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you feel what you have, that's a true blessing.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't have to be too greedy about, I want to possess this, I want to possess that, then I'll be happy. But, you know, blessing kind of doesn't work that way. You have to feel what you have. Yeah, I thought I mentioned that.
And that's abundance. You know, it's so funny that people have this idea. Mm-hmm. And, of course, abundance is different for everyone. But as we really begin to establish this prayer, you know, this practice, it's to give gratitude and thanks and to be blessed. Acknowledge it right where you are. Wherever you are in this moment, stop for a moment.
Right.
You know, just stop. Look around and find something to be blessed and thankful for. Right now, in this show, I'm blessed that Reverend Ernie is sharing an hour of his time with me. That's important. You didn't have to do that. And so that's something to be grateful for. And in doing that, we open ourselves up. We open all channels so that the universe says, well, you like being around those of like mind. You like being around those who are positive and uplifting. I'll send you more of that. And so do you see where that's a blessing? And so we really have to pay attention in every moment because it shows up like that. Yes.
Yes.
So fabulous. Indeed, it is a blessing to have you today.
Yes. You know, we have to give thanks for amazing blessings that surround us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. And also grateful, as you mentioned, I'm glad you summarized that. That grateful for the people in our life, the people that play a role, are just there, and a wonderful gift of being able to give and receive love. Love is very important. Without love, our humanity you know, will not survive. You know, we have to grow that love and
absolutely.
Come to blessings, to blessing each other and yeah. promote love with each other. That's very important. Yeah.
That's important. You know what just came to mind, actually? This makes sense, too. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I have people in my life that are negative or that they're this and they're that, and you want to place judgment on them. Understand that uh-huh. they're in your life for a reason and bless them for being mm-hmm. in your life. They're showing you something. They're showing you something that probably needs to be addressed within yourself and be forgiven within yourself and then be mm-hmm. released. Within yourself, and guess what? Then your relationship with them is going to change. And so look at the blessing of this person, you know, reflecting in that mirror something that needs mm-hmm. to be addressed within yourself. And so it's always wonderful. We can find blessings and ways to give thanks for those who even might upset us just a little bit. They're doing it for a divine reason. So acknowledge, mm-hmm. and then definitely from that place, understand and recognize the blessing of the situation so that you can address mm-hmm. it and release it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, indeed.
So share with the audience once again how we can reach you so that we are in Las Vegas, so uh-huh. we're local. So anyone who's local who wants to participate in this amazing interfaith circle with Reverend mm-hmm. Ernie, how would we connect with you?
We meet the third Sunday of every month. For instance,
okay.
the next meeting, the next discussion group is on the 18th, December 18th. And you can sign,
November
can
18th,
on the Facebook.
Right? Okay.
No, I'm sorry, November 18th, yeah.
Okay.
And you can even, one can go to the Facebook and look, check the events. Like, for instance, the event for over the 18th, November 18th.
Okay.
And we meet at the Spirit Within You. There's a bookstore in North Las Vegas. We
okay.
meet there at 1:30. It's a beautiful store. Thanks to Karen Campbell. She
yes, Karen.
Store there. Karen Campbell. Mm-hmm. Yes, and she's been so great in what you call graciously offered to host the discussion group or the circle or spiritual circle there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
and a wonderful yeah. environment. I, too, teach classes over there. Just a wonderful environment. And you would really get something, you know, understand that we can contribute as much as we take. And we have to understand the law of the circle. And so
yeah.
It's important that you really start to, you know, participate in community circles like that, because we are the change that we've been waiting for. And so go and get ideas, contribute your ideas and your spiritual concepts and share with others mm-hmm. so that everyone can
right.
really attune and advance. So just amazing to be able to do that. And, you know, this mm-hmm. has been about prayer and meditation. And I mentioned earlier that I have now a guided meditation available. And what's wonderful about this meditation, it's guided. So in the beginning, it will help you to still the noise because you listen and you follow my voice as I guide you deep into meditation. And embedded within it are actual 9 solfeggio tones, the ancient tones that will help you to awaken, will help you to balance your chakras, will help you to release energy blocks that you have so that you can begin this awakening process. And you can find that on my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And so I invite you to get that and begin your meditation practice daily. Listen to it once a day, follow it, and go deep within and really begin to get the results of meditating. They are profound in the results that come from meditation. Yeah,
it's
absolutely
a very good
wonderful.
Site. I looked at it.
Thank you.
Good website. I looked at it. Very nice. Very good.
Yes.
Website.
And, you know, once again, something to be blessed and thankful for. So many amazing people have come forward to assist. I have a new phone app out right now on Android. It's coming soon to iPhone called Awakened. And my dear friend Raul has designed that for me. Just amazing talent to put something like that together. So forever, I'm grateful. So we want you to understand that prayer and meditation, it doesn't need to be complex. It can be as simple as going for a walk. Ernie shared with me how he goes into, you're in a jacuzzi or a spa,
yes.
and you'll go to a
yes,
quiet place. Yeah, share that, because people need to know that it doesn't have to be so, you know.
Right.
regimen.
Exactly, in the room or some place. Yes,
yeah.
When I go to the gym right here, the Las Vegas Athletic Club, for instance,
mm-hmm.
they've got a huge pool, I mean, huge jacuzzi there. So
mm-hmm.
what I do is I tune out as much as possible the outside chatter, and I just close my eyes and sit
mm-hmm.
there straight up straight, and I hear the bubbly jacuzzi
mm-hmm.
and kind of it's just music to my ear, and
mm-hmm.
I kind of all my muscles are very very nice and relaxed, and I pray, I mean I silently prayer. And I, as well as to my favorite prayer, the Lord's Prayer, for instance.
Oh, yes,
I do repeat the Lord's Prayer softly, slowly, and I even sing it. I sing the Lord's Prayer slowly.
Well, those who sing pray twice. I said that in the beginning. Indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I meditate. Every time I go to the gym, I'm at the jacuzzi, I meditate. I also meditate in the steam room, for instance, for about 2-3 minutes in the steam room, as well as at the dry sauna for 2-3 minutes. So it's. I mean, I don't feel discomfort, nothing. I'm used to it. So it's okay. It's fine. Even at home, too. So it helps. So you can meditate anywhere. Find a little quiet place, or you can tune it out. Tune out from your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can meditate. And God will communicate with you.
I mean, absolutely.
Listen to that, the inner presence. And, it might not show up right away, but it will show up next day or next week or next year, even next year. You never know.
And that's the thing, to really become aware and pay attention and to be expectant, right? To be expectant of that coming in.
Yes. Exactly.
And so that's what's wonderful, too, because the answers will come. You know, Creator, the universe, Father, Mother, God. Wants us to be happy, wants us to have all that our heart desires, that's best for us. And so we really have to be expectant of those things to come. And you know what? As I say that, I remember another amazing little prayer that I'm going to share real quick in these last 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only take 30 seconds. I am surrounded by pure spirit, perfect law, divine order, limitless substance which responds intelligently to me. It is not only around me, but it is also in me. It is around and in everything. It is the essence of perfect action. It is perfect action in my affairs. Daily I am guided by this divine intelligence. I am not allowed to make mistakes. I am compelled to make the right choice at the right time. There is no confusion in my mind, no doubt whatsoever. I am certain, I am expectant, and I am receptive. And so it is. Indeed.
So it is.
So it is. So it's absolutely been wonderful. Reverend Ernie, thank you so much for this opportunity to sit and speak with you. It's been a sheer delight. I want to thank you. Much blessings to you. Take care.
Oh, thank you very much, Edwin. God bless you. God bless you all. Okay.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And so there you have it, everyone. Just another wonderful episode of Affirmations for Living. I am so glad. I hope you got something from it today. Prayer doesn't need to be complex. Meditation doesn't need to be complex. We can start with baby steps. Baby steps are always good, aren't they? And so do that diligently, though, because it needs to become that spiritual practice. So do it diligently, just like you brush your teeth every day. Say a prayer. Give thanks to great Creator, and then go quietly, allowing for those answers to come in, because surely they will come in. Until next time, stay safe, be blessed, and much love to you. Take care. Bye-bye for now.